The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. To find out how to know God personally, go to knowgod.org, K-N-O-W, knowgod.org.
Hey, would you do me a favor? Share this message with someone who needs to hear it.
When many go to church, they're looking for some kind of takeaway value. Pastor Greg Laurie says maybe we're called to do the opposite. To serve others.
Serving with fellow believers is not only important for those we serve, listen, it's important to us. This is how to get the most out of church. Stop thinking like a consumer and start thinking like a communer. When you bless others, you will be blessed yourself.
This is the
Children often have a good case of the gimmies. You know, give me this, give me that. When we're older, we grow out of the gimmies. Or at least we change the word. We sample, we shop, we patronize, we order. But we still want stuff. Today on A New Beginning, from Acts 2, Pastor Greg Laurie helps us see how to break the pattern and focus on the needs of others and how we might be able to meet them. It's part of being a humble, self-sacrificing member of the body of Christ.
All right, so remember we summed up the church of the first century with the acronym WELL, W-E-L-L. They were a worshiping church, they were an evangelistic church, they were a learning church, they were a loving church. We already pointed this out, but we'll review quickly. Number one, they were a worshiping church. And when we gather together, as we just did, and we worship the Lord, something happens, right? You can't get this anywhere else. There's nothing out there like it when Christians come together and worship. Jesus promises when two or more are gathered together in his name, he's there in the midst of them. Scripture tells us that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. And we should worship if we feel like it or not. Hebrews 13:15 says, we offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So even if you don't want to worship, you should worship because God is good and God deserves your worship. Now, point number two, they were a learning church. This is a very important one. Verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. But the trend in America is not in studying the Bible. However, most Americans own Bibles. 93% of Americans own at least one Bible. In fact, the average American household has four Bibles. I wonder how many Bibles you have in your house. I have a lot because I obviously never throw them away, right? So you beat one up and you go to another one. But they're not reading their Bibles. The Center for Bible Engagement recently did a study. And here's what they came up with. I find this very interesting. Listen to this. If you are not reading your Bible four times or more a week, you will make no significant choices or changes any different from someone who does not read the Bible at all. Let me repeat that again. If you're not reading your Bible four or more times a week, you will make no significant choices or changes any different than someone who does not read the Bible. However, if you read your Bible more than four times a week, now I'm going to ask you a question. Don't lie to me. How many of you read your Bible more than four times a week? Raise your hand. You guys are awesome. Okay? So now, consider this. This is a study that was done. If you read your Bible more than four times a week, your propensity for pornography goes down 61%. Your propensity for substance abuse goes down 57%. Your propensity for gambling goes down 74%. Even obesity goes down 20%. So if you want to lose weight, read your Bible. But you see the impact being in the Word has. Jesus said, if you continue in my Word, then are you my disciples. The church of the first century was a Bible studying church. So I'm going to read the Bible. That is an absolute. I'm going to do this before I do anything else. If I don't have time to check social media or emails or texts or anything else, this one thing I'm going to do is read the Bible. So this is something that we must discipline ourselves to do. And in some churches today, they're getting away from biblical exposition, getting away from teaching, preaching. Some churches focus primarily on worship. And the message is almost more like a pep talk, almost like cheerleading. And yes, it's short. It's a short message. Oh, we like that, church, because the sermons are short. Here's my fear. Sermonettes create Christianettes. Okay? I want you guys to know your Bibles. And this is very important because Jesus said we are to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's possible to worship in truth with no spirit, no passion, no emotion, dead orthodoxy. It's possible to worship in spirit without truth, a lot of emotion, without understanding what the scripture says. Here at Harvest, we offer theology without apology. We want you to know the Word of God. So this brings us to point three. This was a loving church. They were a learning church. They were a worshiping church. They were a loving church. Verse 42, they continued steadfastly in fellowship. Spirit-filled believers like to meet with other believers. As we learn more from the Word of God, we want to spend time with others who also love the Word of God. And by the way, the Lord loves it when we gather together and talk about him. See, church is not just a place to come and hear a message about God. It's a place to talk to each other about God. That's what fellowship is. Malachi 3:16 says, those that feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. And that phrase, listened and heard, means to prick the ear, to bend down, so as not to miss a single word. You know, have you ever been in a room and maybe someone mentions your name and somehow you just pick it up, right? So that's how God is. When we get together and we talk about the Lord sort of bends down and he eavesdrops on our conversation. He loves to hear us talk about him. Listen, when you're walking with God, you'll want to be with God's people. Let me turn that around. When you're not walking with God as you ought to, you probably won't want to be with God's people as much. The stronger your vertical fellowship is, the stronger your horizontal fellowship will be. So these folks in the early church understood that, and they also understood the importance of serving the Lord. And this is what I really want to drill down on as we close this message, is how wonderful it is to serve God. Okay, so you can serve. Listen, God has given to you a spiritual gift or spiritual gifts. And the thing with gifts that are given to you by God is they need to be used. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, we have all been given a spiritual gift for the benefit of everybody. Then over in Romans 12:5, it says, we being many are one body in Christ, everyone members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, so let us use them. These gifts, and I'm not talking about talents now, I'm talking about spiritual gifts that come to you as a Christian, are not given on the basis of merit because you deserve them. None of us deserve any of these gifts. They are, well, a gift. God just graciously bestows them upon us. So we say, well, how do I discover my spiritual gift? Here's my answer. Just go out and serve the Lord. Volunteer literally for everything. I did a little post on this on, I think, Instagram, and one person said, I found out what my spiritual gift was not, being in children's ministry, because they volunteered at VBS or something. So, but that's good. That's process of elimination. That's okay. Not everybody is called to work with children. Not everyone is called to work in another area. So I think the best thing to do is just volunteer wherever you can, wherever there's a need, and you'll know in time if that is a gift that God has called you to use. And so that's something you need to pray about. Serving with fellow believers is not only important for those we serve. Listen, it's important to us. It's important to us. This is how to get the most out of church. Stop thinking like a consumer and start thinking like a communer. See, a consumer comes and says, it's all about me. Get my food to my table on time. Do what I want you to do. A communer comes to say, it's all about us. And more importantly, it's all about him. Let's fellowship together. How can I be a blessing to someone else today? Not just how can I be blessed today, but here's the key. When you bless others, you will be blessed yourself. But if you don't bless others, if you become self-absorbed, and it's all about you and only about you, you will find yourself a very unhappy Christian.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment. Hearing about listeners who find Christ because of Pastor Greg's ministry is so encouraging. Like this story.
Thank you, Pastor Greg. Years ago, I had a spiritual awakening. Along with listening to you on the radio, I also watch you on YouTube. Through your clear teaching, I came to understand the gospel and put my faith in Christ instead of religion. I left the Amish religion, and I couldn't be happier as a believer, knowing I have that peace inside and assurance of salvation. Blessings to you and your family from Ohio.
We're so grateful to hear of the changed lives through Pastor Greg's online presence and this radio program. If you have a story to tell about how these studies have touched your life, I hope you'll contact us today. You can email Pastor Greg at greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org. Well, today we're learning the right way to conduct ourselves as productive members of the body of Christ. Pastor Greg is presenting his message called Count Me In. A permanent copy is available at harvest.org.
This brings me to my fourth point. They were an evangelistic church. Verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. This is the natural outgrowth of being students of Scripture, worshiping the Lord, fellowshipping with other believers. But look at this. The vast majority of us are not bringing folks to church. But listen, how can the Lord be adding to the church daily those who are being saved if we're not bringing people to church, right? So there are many reasons we should share our faith. Number one, this should be the only reason, God has commanded us to, right? The Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So you're commanded by God to do it. Number two, it changes the lives and destinies of those who believe. It's one of the few things we can do in this life that has eternal ramifications. And I'm sure when we get to heaven, we will wish we had done more when we were on this earth. Have you ever seen that film, Schindler's List, from years ago? It's a true story of Oskar Schindler, a German businessman who had some Jewish people working for him. And he saw how the Nazis were persecuting the Jews. And so he hired more and more Jewish folks to work in his factory. But his objective was to save them from the Nazis. In fact, he spent the rest of his life doing that. He basically put all of his money into it for the most part. And he ended up saving over 1,000 Jewish people. And the descendants of them who call themselves Schindler's Jews are many today because of their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. Well, there's a scene in the film where Schindler, played by Liam Neeson, is speaking with his accountant, Itzhak Stern. And he says, I could have got more out. I could have got more. Stern says, Oscar, there are 1,100 people who are alive because of you. Schindler says, I could have gotten one more person and I didn't. You know, I think that's interesting. I wonder if we would ever look back in our life and say, I should have shared my faith more. I should have told more people. I could have gotten one more person. Here's another thing. God changes us when we seek to reach others because there's a joy and happiness in telling others about Jesus. Psalm 126 says, those who sow in tears reap with joyful singing. So he that goes back and forth weeping, carrying his bag of seed for planting, will come back with a shout of joy. Listen, God does not hold you accountable for how many people come to Christ through your testimony, or sharing. Conversion is the work of the Holy Spirit. I've never converted a single person, and I never will. And if I had, there'd be one sorry convert. But my job is to sow the seed. My job is to live the life. My job is to look for opportunities to engage people in evangelistic conversations. And the results are up to God. And then the result is you go into all the world and make disciples. Make disciples. You take that newly minted believer under your wing and you help them to grow in their faith and you get them acclimated in the church. You say, well, I don't have time to do that. I'm busy. Well, discipleship is not adding someone to your calendar. It's including someone in your calendar. Let me say that. And this is a quote from a friend of mine named Grant. Discipleship is not adding someone to your calendar. It's including someone in your calendar. Here's what a younger believer needs. They need to see what it looks like to be a Christian. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So they need to watch you. They need to see how a Christian treats their spouse. They need to see how a Christian lives if they're single. They need to see what kind of movies a Christian goes to. They need to see how a Christian drives. But get it? They need to see it modeled for them and someone that knows more than they know. And I suggest to you, you may know quite a bit more than you think you know. You have a lot to offer, more than you realize. And as you give that out to others, it's going to be a great blessing to you. Coming back to the importance of Bible reading, back to that survey, I found this really interesting. Listen to this. If you read your Bible at least 4 days a week, you will have a, listen, 228% greater chance of sharing your faith. See the connection? So a person that will discipline themselves to read the Bible 4 times or more a week has a statistical chance, 228% greater to share their faith. You also have a 231% chance of discipling others if you read your Bible more than 4 times a week. Listen to this. You have a 407% chance of memorizing scripture. 4 scriptural touches a week can change your life. See how it's all interconnected. Now, here's the bottom line. If you only study scripture and worship without evangelism, you will stagnate. If you only evangelize and give out without study and worship, you will burn out. So we need this activity in our life to grow spiritually, because the more you give, the more Jesus will give back to you. Luke 6:38, Jesus says, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, and make room for more running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. So the more you give, the more you receive back from the Lord. So this is what we need to commit ourselves to do, is try to lead people to Christ and try to disciple people that have come to Christ. I'm telling you, it'll change your whole church experience. Absolutely, it will change it for the better. Because instead of just being someone who's watching almost like a spectator, you become a participator and you start developing your gifts.
Pastor Greg Laurie, pointing out the importance of digging into God's Word regularly and of sharing the great hope we have in Jesus Christ. And in a moment, Pastor Greg has a final comment to share with us from today's message here on A New Beginning. Now, a permanent copy of today's practical message is available. It's called Count Me In, and we'd be glad to send it your way. Just call us at 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org. And again, the title, Count Me In. You know, Pastor Greg, some people have considered themselves Christians for a long time, but they've wrestled with reading the Bible in a way that they really understand. Mm-hmm. I can remember being a new Christian and getting lost in all the begats, you know, or getting lost in Leviticus and all of the details about the Levitical priesthood.
Yes.
But the Bible is meant to be understood and, more than that, meant to be applied in our lives. And your new resource really helps people get there from here, doesn't it?
Yes, that's true. You know, when I'm talking to a new believer and I'm encouraging them to read the Bible, I always encourage them to start with the Gospel of John. Now, you might say, well, shouldn't they start with Genesis? Well, they could, and many do. But like you said, you get to the book of Leviticus, and you're trying to figure out what's going on. Well, basically, you, among other things, have the teaching of Scripture and animal sacrifices and things that really were pointing to the fulfillment that would come through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is concealed in the Old Testament, and he's revealed in the New Testament. And so when you start with Genesis, it's all the Word of God. But if you're a new believer, I think it's better to start with the Gospel of John in particular. And I think that gospel is the best one because it was written really, as John himself said, that you might believe that Jesus Christ is a son of God. So I would encourage a new believer to start with the Gospel of John, read through to the end of the New Testament, and then go back to Genesis and read through the Old Testament, and they'll understand how it all sort of pieces together. Well, I know it's perplexing for new believers because they've never read the Bible before. And it isn't always the easiest book to understand if you don't know what's happening. And that's why it's helpful to have someone sort of guide you a little bit and point you to certain scriptures. And so I've done that in this brand new resource that we're offering called the New Believer's Bible. Now, don't let that title mislead you. It's not only for new believers. It's really for all believers. But it's especially good for someone that's brand new in the faith to help them to build a good spiritual foundation. But basically what I do is as you open it up, it is filled with what we call tracts. And these are tracts that you go through. I'm looking through it right now. It begins with the section on how to know God. So there's a presentation of the gospel. And then we have new believers reading tract, things that they need to know more about. There's a reading tract on forgiveness, honesty and integrity, having courage during trials, your marriage, parenting, job performance, choices you make in life, so much more. And then there's another reading tract that takes you through what we call the cornerstones of the Christian life, the foundational things you need to know about as a follower of Jesus Christ, and much, much more. The great stories of the Bible, passages from the Bible you need to memorize. It's just chock full of powerful truth. And it's in a very easy to understand way. Also, this is the New Living Translation, which is very readable, much more in everyday English than maybe the King James Version is, or even the New King James Version, though I have a great affection for both of those. This is a great translation for a new believer. This is a great resource for any believer, and we want to offer it to all of our friends and listeners out there. It's just, well, kind of hot off the presses. It's called the New Believer's Bible, not just the New Testament. This is the whole Bible, and we're offering it to folks right now for their gift of any size. And we want to encourage those who respond to give as much as you can, because when you give, you enable us to reach more people with the message of the gospel and with the teaching of the Word of God. And wait, there's one other thing I would add, like in those commercials, but wait, there's more. Could you say that like in a commercial way, Dave? But wait, there's
more. But wait, there's more.
Oh, perfect. It's so much better when you do it. Yeah, okay, so say it one more time.
But wait, there's more.
Yes, friends, there is more. It's a Start to Follow companion resource that comes along with the New Believer's Bible. And this is a course that you can go through that will help you even more. And it's filled with a lot of great truths. Think of this as a spiritual life hack. Something that's going to help you dig deeper and grow stronger in your walk with Christ. So get your copy of the New Believer's Bible and the Start to Follow course.
Yeah, that's right. We're eager to send both of these resources your way as soon as possible. We're sending them to say thank you for your investment in these daily studies. And thanks for investing in the work of evangelism through our Harvest Crusades. The next one coming up just weeks from now in Boise, Idaho. With your investment, we want to thank you with Pastor Greg's just released, or maybe I should say re-released and expanded, New Believer's Bible. You can write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call us at 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org. Well, next time, Pastor Greg launches a compelling series in the book of Esther. We'll learn that maybe we're where we are for such a time as this. That starts next time. But before we go, here's Pastor Greg once again.
Jesus said, "The harvest is great, but the laborers are few," right? I guess they had that problem back then too. But he said, pray therefore that the Lord of the harvest would raise up laborers in the harvest. That's what we're going to pray about right now. So let's all pray. Now, Father, you've called us to be in the church. And Lord, we want to find our spiritual gifts. We want to use our spiritual gifts. We want to bring glory to your name and begin, Lord, on a new level to serve you like never before. So we're praying that you will touch our hearts and help us to take this next step. And we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.